Well, it's so great to see all of you here today. Welcome to week number 3 of a series that we have called Dream Again. I've loved this series, strategically placed right here in the middle of summer, a time when a lot of us kind of take a break from a lot of things, including God. And I really believe God wants us to stir up our passions and our desires and our dreams again. And this is going to send us right into the next season. 2 weeks from today, we're going to start our 21 days of prayer. I'm starting a brand new series called Detox. Come on, everybody. We're going to detox a little bit from some things, and you're going to love this series. And then we're going to put all of these dreams before the Lord and ask Him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can dream about, all that we can ask or imagine. So I have the best time ever just taking you on this spiritual journey. Big hello to all of the campuses that are watching all across the state of Alabama. We are one church at 12 locations, and then we have the privilege of being in more than half of the Alabama Department of Corrections facilities across the state. And then there's about 7,000 of you that watch this service live online right here, right now. So come on, Grantsville, say hello to your church family. Come on, give them a big hello. God bless you guys. So a few weeks ago, we started this series really with two verses, and we usually do this. We'll give you theme verses that we'll read every week and then just bring brand new material in the new installments of the series. So go to your message notes in your worship guide, and you may want to take some extra notes or fill in the blanks today. Let me give you our theme verses. And the first is, I love this, if people can't see, I love just that thought. One of the words that the Lord has on my heart a lot right now, I think it has to do with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world right now, is clarity, clarity. I think it's more important than ever before for the church, the people of God, to be clear, understand the season you live in and know what to do. But if you can't see clearly, you look like the rest of the chaos. They stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what God reveals, so you're in tune with what God is saying, not only to us as a church, but to you as individuals, you attend to what He reveals, they are the most blessed. I really think this is critical. I think this is a God word for a now moment, because I think we're living in the last days. And the Bible says in Acts, in the last days, I think we're living in at least the beginning of those last days. In the last days, God's Spirit is already here, but He's going to pour it out in a heavier way. And you'd say, what's that look like? What would it look like when God pours out His Spirit? Very clear in the next verse, three things: prophecy, visions, and dreams. So these are people who aren't seeing the realities of the now. They understand what God is doing and where He's going. Men and women, young men, old men, sons and daughters, everybody is going to see. They're going to see clearly. And so I want to get you dreaming again. I want you to get you back in touch with the passions that God's put in your heart. I think all of us are dreamers. I think we already have those. And my assignment is very simple today, and that is I want to help you not give up on those dreams. Now, before we jump into that, I've got some information I want to share with you, not on your handout sheet, because I got in several discussions with young people this week. We have an intern program, a summer intern program, where high school students and college students can come and just be a part of the church life for the summer. And we have a great time together, and they're going to be serving, kind of finishing their time at the Motion Conference in about 10 or 11 days. And I spent a couple hours with them on Thursday this week, and all I did was Q&A for 2 hours. We had the best time ever. But one of the things we talked about is just, how do you know when God's speaking to you? How do you know if it's God or the burrito you had the night before? Come on, somebody, y'all out there. How do you know? And one of the questions was, does God speak in your sleep dreams? Or when you say dreams, Pastor Chris, is that what you're talking about? And not necessarily. Every once in a while, God will speak in your sleep dreams. But I'm talking about your God-given passions and desires, those kind of dreams. The things that you're imagining. For me, it never happens during my sleep. Trust me, you don't want... The dreams I have at night, thank God they're not God. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, help me, Jesus. All right, so... But I'm talking about just the things that you're imagining that you might do for the Lord. So this is not in your notes, but one of the things I talked with the kids about is how do you test it? How do you know if it's God or a burrito? How do you know? And there, let me give you four just real quick. You can add you note takers love this kind of stuff. Let me give you four. And the first is, does it line up with the Bible? So God's never going to speak something to you that contradicts Scripture. And if it does, it's not God. Let me just end it right there, okay? Second one is will it make me more like Christ? So Christ, Jesus Christ has both purpose and personality. He has who he was and then what he did. And your dreams are gonna line up with both. Who he was, it'll make you look more like him and do what he did on the earth. And if it doesn't line up with that, well, that was a burrito, okay? And here's the third one, and that is, do those in spiritual authority confirm it? Now, God has sent and blesses spiritual authority, especially spiritual authority that love you and love God. So if you have parents or teachers or youth pastors or pastors or even in the civil arena, God has placed spiritual authority, and it can't stand on its own. You've got to use all four of these tests. But if, especially young people, if you have God-fearing, God-loving parents and they don't see what you see, then you need to give strong consideration to what they see. I tell my kids, I am your dreams for a while. You don't even need a dream. I am your dreams. This is God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. You know what I'm talking about? So you, because I genuinely believe that when parents are God-fearing and God-loving, I think God speaks to me more for my kids than he does directly to my kids. And there's a transition of that where they will stand alone on that, but God's placed me in their life for that strategic purpose. So young people, you need to listen to that. And the last one is an interesting one, and that is, does this dream focus on me or does it focus on others? Because God's not gonna give you a dream that makes you great. It's not about our egos or our personal ambitions. This is about doing something that impacts the world. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? All right, so that was the free message before the message right there, everyone, all right? So go to your handout sheet now and let's talk about, okay, I have a dream. How do I keep from giving up on it? Now, a lot of this series has been teaching you things out of God's word. This is an inspirational message because I'm convinced we all face days where we feel like giving up, where we feel like quitting. This may disappoint you a lot, okay? I'm sorry if it does. I have days like that. I have days that I just think, Calgon, take me away. Come on, somebody. Only you old folks understood that, all right? You had to be around long enough to know that commercial about this bath bubbles. This lady was like, at the end of her day, Calgon, take me away, you know, and get in the tub and just act like the world doesn't exist, because there's days whenever you feel like, man, I don't think I can make it anymore. Now, let me give you a promise out of God's word. God, 1 Corinthians 10:13, will never let you go through something, be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with that experience, that bad day, will always give you the ability to stand up under it. That's a great verse, great life verse to have, because days come. Some of you came in this room today. You're at one of our campuses, Opelika, Alabaster. Where you at? Come on, Auburn, Tuscaloosa. I mean, you walk in to places like this and you put on the Christian smile, but inside you're thinking, Calgon, take me away. I don't think I can take this anymore. Now, I have days like that. In fact, people look at Highlands, they think, man, what a great story. It just always worked out. And just look how it's grown, and you have no idea. In fact, most of you don't know, but about 10% of the backstory. There's a bunch of stories that I just can't tell yet. I need a little more space between the event and to protect the people involved. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? Namely, my kids. And so anyway, you just don't know. You don't know what we've been through and how difficult it was in days where I came on this stage just smiling and cheering you on and really wondering, can I keep doing this? I mean, this church started off that way, 400 in the first service. Whoop, whoop. I mean, that's an incredible launch to a church plant. Yeah, but you don't know 200 came back. And then 170 the next week. And by week number four, we were 130. Well, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Yeah, but then spring break hit. And that's where I learned in Alabama, everybody owns a place at Lake Martin. Right? Some of you are watching right now. Like, yeah, they ain't coming during spring. We gone. And then the school, Mountain Brook High School, comes up and says, and by the way, you can't have the auditorium this week. Where are we going to meet? In the cafeteria. Why can't we have the auditorium? Because we're doing our school play and we don't want you touching our stuff. And so we had to go in. Now we got everybody on spring break and we're in the cafeteria. I'm thinking, I called a pastor that afternoon. Can you hire me? I think I'd like to come work for you. I mean, I didn't think it was going to work. And then we had our first summer. I mean, there are days. I mean, you have no idea what it feels like to be preaching a marriage conference, a marriage series, and Tammy hadn't talked to me for 3 days. Come on, y'all, you listen. and you think, Lord Jesus, what is it? And then you finally get a bunch of people come to, that first fall, we had a bunch of people come to the church. We did another mailer and advertised. We got a bunch of people there. Man, this is our chance to put our best foot forward. And I'm telling you, the song, words on the screens were wrong. The air conditioning didn't work. And when you know it, the sound system all feeding back. Doing all this and like, oh, praise God, we're trying to. And I'm just going to tell you, and Luke back on the board, don't take offense, but there are times you just want to give the sound man a little feedback of your own. Can I tell y'all what I'm talking about? I got to give you a, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Touche, all right. Y'all don't know, but they control my life, you know. Service over, boom, you know, like, they can do that. Heard enough. So, yeah, just there are days you feel like that. And I'm dedicating this message to every person who came in this room smiling on the outside but giving up on the inside. And for a lot of you, it's not the fact that you don't dream. You just become convinced that the dream could never happen. Well, let me just tell you a truth right off the bat. And that is that dreams are conceived long before they are achieved. There's space there. And one of my jobs as a pastor is to encourage you in the space. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Yeah, but we're living in the middle. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? We're neither. We're stuck in the middle of the dream. What do you do? Well, you can't talk about this without talking about Joseph. A story, for those of you that are new to Christianity, a story, it's one of the oldest stories in the Bible, in the first book of the Bible in Genesis. And Joseph was a dreamer. In fact, the Bible says this, it's there in your notes, that Joseph had a dream. And he was the 11th of 11 kids in a family. And when he told it to his 10 older brothers, watch this, they hated him all the more. So even before he shared the dream, they already hated him. They didn't start hating him, they hated him all the more. Why? Because he's the baby in the family and he was daddy's favorite and got a coat of many colors, and they were jealous and mad, didn't like the dude, and he came to him and said, hey guys, 10 older brothers, come around here. Let me tell you the dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine, and I hate to tell you guys, but you guys bow down to me, praise the Lord. I mean, like, they weren't too fired up about his dream at all. Now, Joseph shows why the dream doesn't happen right then and there. Why God doesn't give you a dream and it's automatically fulfilled, because you can see even in his attitude here, he's not ready. This shows a person who had some character development that was needed. And so that's why there's a trajectory. That's why there's a distance. That's why there's a space, because God works inside of us in the process. Well, the brothers weren't so excited about it. And they said in verse 19, here comes that dreamer. And they mocked him. And you ever felt like that? There are people or even the devil's mocking your dream. And they said, I know what we're going to do. Come now, let's kill him. I just love the Bible. I just think that's the funniest line ever. Because, come on, y'all have siblings, you felt like that? You know, I got the plan. Let's kill him. You know, I just love that. And let's throw him into one of these cisterns. And let's tell dad, a ferocious animal devoured him. That's a good plan. And then we'll see what comes to his dreams. And I want you to write down a few truths that we learned from this beautiful story in the Bible. And that is, you don't give up on your dream, even if it doesn't start off well. For a lot of us, we had a dream or we had a moment where we thought, man, I want to do this and I'm believing God for that. And then history happens. Events that too many of you in this room are convinced, listen to me, disqualify you now. I had somebody tell me just the other day, yeah, but you don't know that, as if God can forgive everything and his grace is sufficient for all of this, but not for that. It's, Chris, it's too late. And it's not. For all of us, it doesn't always start off so well. We have events and circumstances that happen, isn't that right? And you start to think, well, God can't, they actually said that God can't forgive this. Oh, what you don't realize is God has already forgiven it. You just haven't forgiven yourself. And there's a lot of you that don't realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he doesn't wait for every time you say, okay, now forgive me for these. All right, I got those, but you're on your own for the next ones. No, no, no. He's forgiven your sin, past, present, and future. That's the best news you're going to hear all day, by the way. I mean, that Jesus has forgiven your sins. You need to know that. And so the enemy's job is to throw enough junk in your life to convince you that you're disqualified. Can I just give you a great word? That actually almost qualifies you all the more. God has a history of using people who had these horrible pasts to do great things. If you look at the Bible and the characters in the Bible, they're just that, characters. They had issues, man, big issues. And God intentionally uses them because he's not only telling you the story of that person, but he's trying to show you, look how I use this person. I mean, here's the brand new church birthed in Acts chapter 2. And God wants to evangelize the whole world with this New Testament church. And he's looking for somebody who'll be the chief church planter. He doesn't look at the guys praying every day and reading his Bible every day and fully devoted to God. No, he looks down there and finds a murderer. I'm going to use him. I'm going to get this guy over here and I'm going to meet him. I'm going to blind him on a road and I'm going to reveal myself to him. And Saul, who became Paul, meets Jesus. But I'm telling you, Paul is overseeing the execution of Christians at this point. And that's who God chose. You wouldn't have chosen him. I wouldn't have chosen him. No, but God chose him and literally to make a point, not just to use him, but to make a point to the rest of us that your dream can still become a reality, even if it hasn't been going so well lately. And I love this verse. I put it in your notes. I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, Paul said, who's given me strength. I love this line. This is one of my favorite ministry lines in the Bible. And I pray this often, that he considered me faithful, let me be the pastor of Church of the Highlands. He looked down and he saw this C student from Louisiana. And I wasn't faithful, but he considered me faithful. Just love that. I didn't have to be faithful to be considered faithful. He considered me faithful, even though, I love this, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Paul just, I can't believe he picked me. Have a little sign on the side of the stage right over there while the opener's playing. I'd stand back there. I'm waiting for the opener to finish. It's right there in my face. I got it at eye level. Thank you for choosing me. It's a privilege to be on this stage. And just like Notre Dame, where they tap that play like a champion today, that's my little boom, boom. I tap it. Thank you. Because I'm nothing. And he considered me faithful. And I'm telling you, I don't care what you've been through, what you've done. God's dream can come to pass in your heart. Don't measure it by who you think you are. Measure it who your God is, everybody. Amen. I'm preaching about 72% better than you're responding right now. I want y'all to know that. All right. Here's the next one. Write it down. Don't give up on your dream, even if the journey is full of surprises. You know why? Because your journey is going to be full of surprises. I can guarantee it. In fact, chances are there are going to be twice as many bad days as good days. Chances are there are going to be twice as many days to give up on than it is to go on. My goodness, Pastor Chris, be more positive. Okay, I'm positive. You're going to have bad days. I mean, it's going to happen. And I'm going to show it to you in this story because, of course, he was sold into slavery to a guy, an Egyptian guy named Potiphar. Now, so Joseph becomes really the beginning of human trafficking. His brother says, the oldest brother, thank God for him. Let's don't kill him. You know, we got to stand before God one day. Let's just sell him. So that's a great alternative. But anyway, we'll sell him into slavery. And so when Joseph is in the pit and he gets sold into slavery and has to go to Egypt, was that a moment where he thought the dream was coming true or not? No, let me ask it this way. Was that a give up or a go on? Okay, I practice this as crowd participation. I'm going to try once again. Come on, I know you guys are shouting in alabaster because we know how y'all are down there, all right? So everybody, is this a give up or a go on? Yeah, it's a give up. So we'll turn that one red. All right. Living in a strange country far from home. Give up or go on? Give up. Thank you very much for playing. Now he's in Potiphar's house and Potiphar sees all this hand of God on his life and he elevates right to the chief of staff. He's given favor in Potiphar's house. Give up or go on? Yeah. Yeah, we'll turn that one green. 2 out of 3. Let me show you another page, all right? Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. So Potiphar's wife wanted to have sex with him. So Joseph goes, I can't do that. I love God, and I got to be faithful, you know, to your husband, my employer. I can't do that. She goes, come on, come on, come on. And he runs away, and she grabs his coat. Well, she didn't want to be embarrassed, so she goes to Potiphar. This boy you hired tried to rape me. And he's falsely accused, even though he stood for integrity. Give up or go on. Yeah, you're right. So he's thrown into prison. Give up or go on. You're right. But when he gets in prison, the warden, now you got to realize, these prisons weren't like, they're not like the ones we have today. This was an underground dungeon. Like, if you ever seen that Quasimodo with the big humpback, and that's probably what the warden looked like, okay? So the Bible says he had favor in the eyes of the warden. It's probably the eye of the warden, okay? But he's put in charge of all the prisoners. Give up or go on. Yeah, so again, 2 out of 3, just trying to show a point. Let me show you one more page. And he prophesies to the cupbearer, you're going to get released. And if you do get released, just remember me. And cupbearer says, I will. I'll get you out of here. And he doesn't. He forgets him. Give up or go on. That's a give up. He remained in prison 2 more years. Give up or go on. And then he came out of prison because he answered the dreams, or he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh puts him as second in command of all of Egypt. Give up or go on. Again, I'm just trying to say to you that life probably will dish you twice as many give ups as go on, which is why you need this message today. Well, then encourage me, Pastor. Okay. We know that, say it out loud, in all. That means your current situation. That means your current marriage, your current employer, your current financial, your current health, in all things, you need to know that God is at work. You just need to know that. He's at work to those who love him. And look at this, those who have a dream, those who are called, not to their own ambitions, but to his purpose. God's at work. You just need to know that God is at work. Here's one more, write this down. Don't give up on your dream. Even if it takes a long time to realize it, because it will. It just takes a long time to realize our dreams. And that's why I needed to stand on this stage and teach you about dreams and then lead you into a season where we're going to seek God and we're going to just pray. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love 21 days of prayer for all of you that are new to our church. And God's going to stir it up inside of you again. And here's probably my favorite verse of the day out of Habakkuk. That the things that I plan, God says, won't happen right away. You just need to know that. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. And if it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will come to pass. Just be patient. Who likes that word? Not me, but it's a part of the walk that you need to know. They will not be overdue a single day. Love that thought. Can I tell that to you? That God's purpose in your plan, come on, every campus, God's purpose in his plan will not be overdue a single day. Now, I know it feels like a long time. I know it does. Because we live in a society where we're used to things, you know, that Chase credit card commercial, I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. So get your credit card out. I mean, we were training people in an instant society. Well, that might work if you're buying something at the store, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work if you're trying to follow God. And you just need to hear this. Now, I'm not saying it's a fun teaching. I'm just saying it's true. But if I'll come on the stage every once in a while and point you to God who can help you hang in there and remind you of your dreams, and encourage you, don't give up. I think you're going to make it, and you're going to love where all this ends up one day. And that's why Galatians in the New Testament says, let us not become weary in our doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if, say it out loud, if we do not, turn to the person next to you and say, don't give up. Come on, tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. Tell the other person who was your second choice, you really don't need to give up. There's always a second choice in there. So how? Well, one of the best things that I can give you as a pastor, and that's part of my job, is to keep you encouraged along the way, is there are three principles, and I want to, this is going to be a strong statement, that I think stand, they stand as some of the best you'll ever hear. So I think every week I give you great stuff out of God's word. I think this is a special list. I think this back page of that handout should take a special place in your life somewhere. Like you need to live by, if you live by these three principles have saved my life. And that's a fact in more ways than you can possibly imagine. The first one is this, it's a huge one. And that is you have to recognize and value the process because God does. So let me say it this way. When something is happening to you, God wants to do something in you. And that's just a fact. Now, it's not necessarily the part of God that we enjoy, but it is the best for us. That God doesn't bring trouble, but he'll use it. So you're there saying, oh, God, rescue me from this, whatever it is. And God goes, I will, but let's learn something first. Let's work through it a little bit. And so we're praying, oh God, take it away. And God's trying to teach you something. You need to change your prayer from take it away to, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? And I promise you, you'll get out of it faster than praying, God, take it away. Because God loves, he just loves working on a character. He's not interested in your comfort, people. He's interested in your character. But he wants to use you in a way that is greater than you can possibly imagine because he's a faithful God. It's like my kids. They'd wake up in the morning, oh, I don't want to go to school. Yeah, but I'm not interested in your comfort. I'm interested in you leaving this house one day. Come on, somebody. And then supporting me when I'm old. I'm interested in developing them more than I am, oh, you just skip school, sleep in. No. God's interested in developing us, and you got. And if you don't recognize that and value it, this road is a bummer, man. But if you see it that way, it's like, all right. Because life is not what happens to you. It's your response to what happens to you. So you respond correctly. God works in you. It just happens a lot better. I'll show you a couple of verses. In 1 Peter it says, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy, not today. It's ahead. Even though right now you're going to have to endure many trials for a little while. Let me tell you why they're there. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Now, if you don't know that process, when to make pure gold, they heat it up really hot and the impurities rise to the top. They skim it. Now, God, you don't realize this, but God has you in a skimming process. And you're praying away the very school that he's using. Because every storm is a school. Every test is a place where he teaches. Every experience is an education. See, God's trying to, he's using it. Look what he says in the next verse. So when your faith remains strong through it, through the trial, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. So God's at work in that. Let me show you a great verse out of James. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. I've yet to meet the person who does that. Woo! What's up, man? Going through a trial, it's awesome. Like nobody does that. I'm trying to help you kind of do that. Consider joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith is developing something in you. And it goes on in the next verse and says, and this development must have its finished work that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Well, that's pretty, I don't want to lack anything. Okay, here we go. I'm just trying to help you along the way. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't learn this principle, life becomes miserable. But when you start recognizing, oh, that's what that's all about. Teach me, Lord. I'm right. Develop me, God. I'm telling you, you'll fly through these trials, these tests of life. Here's the second one. It's massive. I'll just warn you. You ought to go ahead and put a star next to it before you even know what it is, because it's a big one. And that is, you've got to refuse to let offense stop you. You've got to refuse. Because offenses are coming your way. Okay? There are people on this planet. It's almost as if they went to Discovery 301. They took the spiritual gift profile and found out that their calling in life is to destroy yours. You know, you met, got people like that in your life? And you're just like, my goodness. There are people like that. And if you don't forgive every day, resentment is a dream killer. It's a dream stopper. Let me say it this way. It'll stop you dead in your tracks. Probably bigger than anything else. So Joseph gets sold by his brothers. Come on, y'all. He was sold as a slave. He was human. Can you imagine giving up a relative to human trafficking? And then sure enough, he's 40 years old now, and he's an Egyptian, okay? Which he doesn't look like the 18-year-old Hebrew kid anymore. He's like the movies. He's got the black eye makeup. Who knows if that's really what they look like? He ain't wearing a shirt, got a little dress, and he got a snake on his head. All right, he's doing all. So the brothers don't recognize him. And sure enough, there's a famine in the land. Joseph has stored up all this grain. And his brothers, just like the dream when he was 17, they bow before him. And wasn't that the moment where Joseph goes, and I curse thee, and I send thee to go build a pyramid? I mean, like, right? I mean, that was his chance, baby. May the flies of 1,000 camels find your armpits. I mean, like, curse them, baby. Get them good. He had the power. He had the power. I mean, he could do it, man. And he didn't. He goes, I'm your brother, Joseph. And they're freaking out. They, oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. And his next line is my favorite verse of the whole story. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Man, aren't you proud? I was never more prouder to be a Christian than to watch those beautiful people in South Carolina get in front of that killer and say, Jesus will forgive you. If you'll just call out to him. I was like, yeah, baby. About time some Christians act like Christians. And I was just like, oh, let the world play this over and over. And that horrific, senseless crime. And those beautiful people stand in front of that person and say, we forgive you. I promise you this, their dreams aren't stopping. I don't care what came their way. I mean, they understand that, as Jesus said, offenses are gonna come. You can't avoid it. It's just gonna happen. But realize that our struggle, Paul said, is not against a person. And that's why you've got every hater. Come on, y'all got some haters? I got haters. It shocks me that I have haters. Like, how do you hate me? I'm just always surprised when people, some of the vilest things you'll see on social media, I don't even read it anymore. It's like, where did that come from? Like, oh my goodness. And I realized, you know, they don't hate me. Hurting people hurt people. That's just, and you can't let that get inside of you. That's why Jesus included forgiveness in the everyday prayer. Every day. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done today. Give me today my daily bread. And Lord, forgive me as I'm forgiving others. You know, I pray that every day. Sometimes I have people I can actually name. Lord, I let go. Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they did. They're not victimizers. They're victims. I don't hold it against them. And then some days I don't have anybody. So I just pray in advance. Lord, for every person who's just going to hate on me today, I'm going to let them go before they even get here, Lord. Just go. Why? Because resentment's a dream stopper. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood. You got an enemy. Your real enemy is not people. It's the devil. You thought it was all about your wife or your husband. No, it's not. You really ready for this? It's not even about that fight you're in. The devil's not trying to make you two split up. He's trying to stop your dreams. He's seeing so far beyond that fight. I'm telling you. Our struggles against powers of the dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Here's the last one. We need to go. Are you getting encouraged today, everybody? I'm just telling you. I'm trying to help you along the way. And that is, you better value the process, because that's not going to change. You better value that, man. You just appreciate the development that God has for you. Oh, God, I'll just go to heaven. Stupid, I'm fine. No, he wants to develop me. And you better not let unforgiveness get in your heart, because it's a dream stopper. And I want you to write this one down, and then I want you to set your things in your lap and no clicking, no moving. Just go ahead and plan on no moving, because I believe God's going to take this from a message point to a ministry point, and that is, you've got to remember every day that God is always with me. Always. Always. Write it down. Set it in your lap. And let these words, the word of God, come on, be still. Let the word of God speak to you. Because on the day that Joseph was sold into slavery, the Lord was with him in the pit. And then when he ended up in prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor. Psalm 139 says, if I go up to the heavens, guess what? Hey, everybody, God's there. Of course he's in the heavens. Yeah, but if I make my bed in the depths of hell, God's there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, God's there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, God's there. Even there, your hand guides me, your right hand will hold me fast. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. He's ever present, especially in trouble. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, God's there. And when you pass through the rivers, God's there. And you walk through the fire, God's there. So, do not be afraid. I'm there. Jeremiah, do not be afraid. God's there. He'll rescue you. So I want it to be not bad. That isn't how he play. He just shows up in the middle of your trouble. Jeremiah chapter 1. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. Why? Because God's there. I'll rescue you, says the Lord. And even one of the last words out of Jesus' mouth, he says, and surely I am with you. How comforting to know that no matter what I go through along the way, God's there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That was for somebody. That just that last minute of this message was for somebody who you felt lonely and you're exhausted from the fight and you're exhausted from trying to make things work out right. And there are some who you came in today, just, this better be good. I don't know if I can make it another day. I got good news for you. God's there. God's here, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And God sent this simple guy named Chris to tell you that whatever you're facing, he's right there with you. There are some of us in this room that need to embrace the process that he's on to develop us. Lord, don't rescue us from it. Teach us something in it. And give me the strength, Lord. There are some of you right here, you need to let go of somebody that you've held an offense against. And I'm telling you, it's stopping your future. You don't have to feel it. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Come on, just say, Lord, I don't hold that against them any longer. Don't wait to feel it. Feelings will follow. Make a choice. Choices lead, feelings follow. Make a choice. Lord, forgive them. As you forgive me. Thank you, Lord, for setting people free right here in this room. There are some of you here watching this service today. You say, Chris, I am so far from God. I feel the gap. I sense the distance. I'm carrying shame and I'm carrying guilt. I need to be saved. I need to come back to God. I'm a Christian, but I need to come back home. That's you. Would you pray this prayer with me at every location? If you're watching online, just stop right there. Close your eyes and pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying paying for what I did. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive your grace. Come live inside of me. Change me. Make me like you. And I want to live for you. Everything I've got, I completely surrender. Be my Lord. With all of my heart, I'm going to live my life for your honor and your glory. Thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. Thank you. Campus pastors, come to the stage. Take your service, please. And as we go offline, and it's just us, Grants Mill, if you just pray that prayer, I'm going to tell you, Jesus forgives you, lives inside of you, makes a home in heaven for you. All you need to do is go live for him with all your heart. And church, if you think people in this room who just prayed that, prayed the best prayer of their life, why don't we celebrate it right now? Come on, give them the best hand you've got. That's right. Now stay seated, except for the ushers. Let them take their places. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would you please mark the connection card where it says, I made a decision today. No one's going to call or visit. I want to send you a packet of information that'll tell you what your next steps are. You'll love it, I promise you. Let me mail it to you, okay? But mark your card, fill it out. The rest of you can get out and ready what you're going to give. The team will put on the screen behind me ways you can give. There's a lot of different ways. Digitally, right here in the service. We're going to pray a blessing over it. As always, don't feel any pressure whatsoever. It's for those who call Highlands home. We just wanted to give you the opportunity. One of the things we love to do is invest in people, invest in our church, invest in people's lives. And you're a part of this week. We're going to be training over 3,200 pastors on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday right here in those chairs. And it's just an honor. And you've invested in that. And thank you for that. We're not asking anything from them. We're just going to bless them and teach them. It's going to be a great, 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 great week. It's been sold out for 4 months. We're excited about these pastors coming here. So God bless you. And then we got motion next week. And parents, if you need a little Q&A, just a few minutes, go to the bridge, second floor above the children's area. Some team will just answer your quick questions so you have confidence to send your kids. I promise you, you'll get your questions answered. You'll be confident that we can take care of your students in a great way. There's only one announcement today, and since it's the third week, we have the third step of the growth track. But if you want to start today, you can. Discovery 301 is in the theater to your right, and it just helps you take a personality test and a spiritual gifts test. And what it does, it's going to help you see who you are, because I want you to dream again. I want you living your dreams out. You can't know that until you understand how God made you. You'll love it, I promise. It's at 6 o'clock in the theater. Let's stand. What a great day. Come on, let's take our offering in our hand. Or if you're giving other ways, let me pray a blessing over it. Lord, what we give right now, we're investing in pastors and dream centers and those in the correctional facilities. What a joy, God, to give and to see your church making a difference on this earth. Lord, use it, we pray, for your honor, for your glory, God. It's a blessing, Lord. We give it from our heart now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, step out of your seat. Come on, let's sing together.
today. We're going to continue praying here at the front. You guys have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.